God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our epistle reading, picking up the concept of flooding. Let me first start by saying for most people, when we think of a flood, we usually think of some act of nature, and a very, very devastating act of nature. Floods by its water destroy things, house, home, items, and even sometimes memories attached to those items, as we take a look at what remains and we somewhat cringe. But our Lord, you sometimes has used a flood in a different way, a flood for cleansing purposes. Yes, there was destruction, we may remember, with Noah and the ark, but at the same time, there was hope and salvation. For those who were in the ark, the flood represented, in one essence, a new life. A new life on a new land, now kind of purged of the evilness of humanity, and new life beginning. Strangely enough, that phrase of the ark and flooding gave rise to the naming, in one essence, of where you are sitting in the church. Where you are sitting now is called the nave, kind of representative of that of a boat, henceforth the name of the navy. Now, where am I going with this flood? And the reason why I want to sort of set the stage for this flood is because we're going to talk about a flood, and we're going to talk about a flood of God's grace. If I was to say today, you are flooded with God's grace, would you believe and trust that phrase? Would you really believe and trust that, yes, you are granted many blessings by God, and those blessings overflow from you, as St. Paul tells us in our text, and in one essence somewhat create a flood? Now, we might do the little bit of the bobblehead type Christianity. Yes, Pastor, the answer is Jesus. That's fine. We understand that. But we also may struggle with this concept. Yes, we might be saying now that we're in God's ark, now that we're in the place where God's word and sacraments are administered. But what happens when we leave the safety of the ark? What happens on our way home if we happen to drive by one of our neighbors who has a better car than you, or a better home, or seems to have a better life? Do we truly then truly believe that we are being showered upon God with many blessings? Or would our response be, yes, Lord, you know I'm forgiven, and I know I need to be appreciative of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and of the cross. Amen. But a few more physical blessings wouldn't hurt, would it? We sometimes act that way. And the reason why I want to just sort of caution a little bit about it is because in our text for today, St. Paul describes God's gracious activity as overflowing upon him, from him, and really even to others. And would we put ourselves in that same position? Yes, if we understand the spiritual aspect of that, you know, the forgiveness of sins, yes, we know we are forgiven, and that bobblehead aspect of Christianity comes through. But where that meets the road in daily life, we might be saying, Lord, my cup is a little empty. Could you fill it a little bit more? And so as Christians, we need to take a look at what Paul's words are about for us, besides for Timothy. Timothy was trying to instruct a church on his own to proclaim that word of God, to proclaim that forgiveness of sin. And Paul is giving him instruction and basically saying, okay, Timothy, use me as an example here. He was one of these quote-unquote worst sinners. He even kind of almost brags about being the worst kind of sinner. And so why would Paul do that? It's because if his mind is truly at the right part of where his heart is at, he will truly understand that, yes, he is a sinner, and God is still continually overflowing his grace upon him. And so he can truly look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, yes, your grace is constantly flowing. And by the way, Paul also has other words. He knows what it means to be in luxury, and he knows what it means to be in need. Paul did not equate these blessings of God only in a physical way, but he also understands them in a spiritual way. Paul was noted in saying he knew how to be content in all situations. So even when it may seem like our physical blessings might be lacking a little bit, or maybe a better way of describing that is just not as full as some of our neighbors, Paul is still able to say, oh, by the way, Lord, you're still blessing me so much it's overflowing from me to other people. And that's where we also need to be as Christians, where we understand that, yes, God has forgiven me, filled me with His Spirit, so I in turn may show that love and that forgiveness to those around me. But I will admit, this isn't easy to do. We live in a world where there's a lot of hatred, there's a lot of anger. We live in a world that's filled with a lot of sin. The early part of our text, Paul describes some of the sins that the society was facing during the time of Timothy. And as you've read through that list, you might be thinking, nothing's new. These are the same things that are going on today. And so how does a Christian hang on to that faith and hang on to that sense of great blessing from God as we see a world living in sin, being part of this sin, and sometimes to being more blessed than we are? We can agree with Paul in his statement that, yes, God's blessings have showered on us, overflowed from us, and in one essence, flowing from us to create a great flood, when we truly understand the first flood we went through. What was that first flood? That first flood was when water was sprinkled upon you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not exaggerating. Can sprinkled water create a flood? The answer is yes. Because through the rite of holy baptism, the old man within us is drowned, and a new man emerges. That only comes because of God's action. Yes, a few drops of water can indeed create a flood. And as Christians, we remember our baptism. We remember our need for baptism. We remember God's grace. And that grace is always with us. Now, St. Paul kind of uses the phrase, one of our hymns are based on it, chief of sinners though I be. It almost seems like Paul is kind of bragging about his sin. And in one essence, that's kind of where the phrase that Luther somewhat comes up with, sin boldly, but trust in the grace of God even more. We should not be trying to minimize our sin. And what do I mean by that? Basically, as Christians, we sometimes fall into a little bit of a trap. We sometimes like to say, you know, this hasn't been a bad week for me. You know, I've been a good person. You know, I haven't been arrested. I'm not like those quote-unquote other sinners out there. But if we truly look into our heart, we might find the same anger, the same hatred, the same type of things that alienate the people from God are still residing within us. We might say to our Lord, okay, Lord, why do I have these feelings of anger and frustration? You drowned the old Adam within me through holy baptism. Didn't that flood work? And the answer is yes, that flood did work. Holy baptism does indeed save you. But our flesh is still stained with that sin. And so these evil thoughts still come across our mine. Consider the parable that Jesus tells of two people entering the temple to praise God, so to speak. One person praying, "I thank God that I'm not like that tax collector over there who's a sinner." And he does all these acts of self-justification. Whereas the tax collector sinner basically says, "God, have mercy upon me." Jesus reminds us, it is the latter who received mercy. It is the latter who received mercy. It is the latter who understands that God's grace is indeed good. It is the latter who understands their true spiritual condition. Every day we sin. Every day we fall into short of God's glory. Every day we deserve to be tossed out of the ark into the drowning waters to be dead forever. But thanks be to God, he gives us those mercies new every day. He showers his blessings upon us so that they cover us, redeem us, and should overflow from us. Yes, it was only with a few drops of water that the sprinkling flood of holy baptism drowned the old Adam within you. But don't think of it as just a few drops, just for me. But think of it as a great flood that flows from me to other people, to extend to all people. I mean, when was the last time you saw pictures of a flood and it was just one house that was flooded? Doesn't it flood the whole community? So why is it as Christians we allow the devil to deceive us and sit there and say, it's not much of a flood and it's just for me. It's not just for you. It's for all people. It overflows from you to all people to flood the community with God's grace and mercy. Let's not let the devil try to sit there and say, it's only physical blessings. It's not. God indeed does bless us with many physical blessings, but he abounds in blessing us with the forgiveness of sins. Let not the devil have its way and sit there and say, but you haven't sinned that much. We indeed, like St. Paul, can sit there and brag and say, yes, we are of the foremost of sinners and foremost forgiven. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one that has forgiven us our many sins so that we in turn may not shower hatred or anger toward others, but love and forgiveness that flows and abounds from us because it was started by God himself. Yes, when we take a good look at our lives, we are in need of a flood. We are in need of a flood of God's grace, and God graciously provides, no matter what we have done in the past. But don't let that flood stop with you. Let that flood continue to flow through you to those around. That is the joy of knowing that, yes, you indeed are forgiven. As you see that aspect of love and forgiveness coming from you, to other people. So yes, we talked about the flooding. And in this case, it is a good thing. We ask the Lord to protect us from the natural disasters of the destruction of water floods, but we ask the Lord to use us as his tools and instruments to be part of that spiritual flooding for us and for those around us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.